Every few years, I like to review content that I've discussed before for various reasons. And so some of you, if you have really good memories today, you're going to say, well, we heard that several years ago. Well, you probably did. But I think it's good that we go back over. And I find, as we heard last Sabbath in the message by Joe Myers, we will forget, and we need to be reminded, all of us, how many times as you age, this happens more. You forget things. I thought I'd never forget that. The other day someone said, I need the last four digits of your Social Security number. I've had that since I was, 16, whatever it was, when I needed it to start, whatever age that was. And I couldn't remember it. I'm like, what in the world? So then I did the whole thing. I remembered that. Then, well, there they are. So, well, and I've told these stories, but I remember as a young man, a youngster, if you will, my friend and I, when growing up, my mom, I don't know if my mom's watching today, but I'm assuming she is or will. She'll watch it later. But sometimes when I tell these stories, I'm like, oh, poor mom. She may not remember this. She may not even know about it. But I had a friend, and if we could find things to do and get into, we did. Wasn't anything involving sin. It just wasn't the smartest thing. And one of the things that we liked to do was to get as close as we could to skunks without getting sprayed. Some of you are shaking your heads. I understand. Well, we chased a skunk underneath a porch of a house that we knew the people. And so we were trying to get him to come out so we could chase him some more. And I'll never forget what took place. And all I can say, if you've never experienced that, what a stench. It stunk. I mean, rotten eggs smell like honey compared to... And if you've ever had a dog that's been sprayed, or one time I had a truck where we hit a skunk and it flew up and got stuck underneath the transfer case and lodged there, and as it heated up, the whole truck. And you know, they say, well, if you spray tomato juice and all this stuff, well, I'm telling you, as an example, none of that works. It just, you got to wait till it dissipates. I remember one time I was out in Montana visiting Glenn and Connie White, doing my daily walk out to the end of the driveway or the dirt road, and the biggest skunk I'd ever seen in my life walked right in front of me and stopped, and it was huge. And I was like, oh, baby, if he's that big, he's got a spray zone, I'm in it. And I just, nice kitty kitty is what I said. And I backed up, and it raised his tail. I'm like, I am so dead. And I knew I couldn't run fast enough, so I just backed up, and then it put its tail down and boom, lumbered off. And so next time I went up the next day, I made a wide berth to the other side in case he was still around there. But you, that smell, you can't get that out. I can smell it now. I remember when Big Sandy in 1981 around there, one day I was working in the security booth out front. It was about 85 degrees. Sun was shining. And every so often the wind would just right would hit and the smell would come wafting by. And we had the window open from time to time to help welcome people to the campus. And the smell, like what? So I had to go. I said, I'll be back. It was with another guy. So I walked out, and here, right out in the road in front of it, somebody had hit an armadillo, and it had been cooking for about 2 days. That thing stunk. Man. And then I remember one time, a chemistry lab in high school, that we had to work with a bunch of sulfur, and it just came down the different hallways, and you know, that rotten egg stench, if you've never experienced that. Some of you may have smelled the sulfur from the geysers at Yellowstone. In the Yellowstone National Park, they smell like sulfur because of the hydrogen sulfide gas they emit. It's colorless, flammable gas with a strong odor of rotten eggs. If you have to pass gas, it's the best place to do it, I tell men, because no one will notice it. So now I know I shouldn't have said that. Someone's going to, that's me. I usually have a prop at this point, but I won't today. Two. One is monetary reasons, and the second is I don't think anybody here would want it. I used to give this when I had large congregations, and somebody, oh, I love that. My father-in-law, oh, I love it. But Limburger cheese, anybody ever have that? Limburger cheese, I found the only way I could eat it is if I held my nose shut, pinched shut. I could eat it. But my father-in-law says it tastes good. I think his olfactory senses don't work right or something. He's watching so I can pick on him. But anyway, so I didn't buy any, and it's also expensive. If I could even get it around here, I haven't tried. But some of the places we lived, in Wisconsin, I could always find it. There was a television segment of the Three Stooges. Now I'm in trouble again, but right? So it was the Three Stooges, and Curly mistook some Limburger cheese instead of mentholated rub. He had a chest cold. He put it all over his chest. And they were in a really nice home. They were working, and he had a bad cold, so he couldn't smell it. But everybody was like bolting, and they'd run, and he was like, wait, why is it, what's going on? What's the problem? And one of his friends, two of them said, man, you just reek, dude. So go take a shower or bath. I guess it was a bath back then, and it was quite humorous, at least I thought. But that was Limburger cheese. Okay, enough about stinky smells. Let's talk about fragrances. Don't do that. That'll lead to going to sleep there, bud. Fragrances. I don't know where everyone's lived out there, but I know in Nebraska and Iowa, you know this. The smell of apple blossoms in the spring. Maybe when the wildflowers come in Texas, up in the hill country. Some of those have some wonderful smells. Very aromatic. There are other things that living in agrarian society, you smell things. Lilacs. Yeah. So, huh? Cherry blossoms. Right. You might recall after the Day of Atonement or Dia de Expiacion that you drive by a greasy hamburger joint or maybe a fine steakhouse and, man, it smells good. Right? Or maybe you get a waft of Bruce grilling on the back porch and it comes all the way up here and you say, Right? Maybe it's the perfume your wife is wearing or used to wear when you were dating. Do you remember that? I think I do. Chantilly, I've mentioned that. I think that's what she used to wear. She doesn't wear it now because I'm allergic to perfume and colognes. And a lot of people are time moves on. But maybe, and this is going to really date me, Chanel No. 5, Hugo Deep Red, White Diamond, Safari Lovely, or the most famous Midnight Madness. I guess, why would you want your wife mad at midnight? But I didn't say girlfriend, I said wife. So, but, you know, all the different fragrances, we used to, when we traveled a lot, some of the airports, all the airports going into Latin countries, mainly was it Miami, the main one, where when you got off the plane, you could not exit, you had to go through the big duty-free shop that had liquor and perfume. And it had all of these wafting. And then on the planes, the men would do it too. But the ladies would board the planes, the flight attendants, and they still have feminine-looking flight attendants, at least they did. And they would all have different perfumes on. And they would come by, and then the men would come by with all they wore. And your head would be spinning. Remember that, Gail? It smelled nice in small quantities with one person, but still the fragrance, it just, I can still smell that. So I have with me here, and this is 41 years old. Please don't spray it. Please don't, Bruce, don't, because, but if you have a good sniffer, you can take this off. Smell it. I haven't sprayed it in a long time. I don't wear it. There's still some in there. Amazing. But You can see if you can, if your sniffer's working at all. COVID kind of destroyed some of that, but you can still smell it. My wife says, yeah, it's quite fragrant. One time I was in a congregation where one of the teenage boys, and all the people around him peeled. And I had a minister that I worked with years ago that he liked polo. Yeah, let Nada look at it too. We know Nada's not going to wear any of that because that's a men's cologne. It's kind of a cross between tobacco and arm sweat, but, you know. Some people say, I can't smell. Yeah, go ahead. You do that, and then you can leave. But anyway, what I would like to do today, and you can just leave it with Gail when you're done. What I would like to do is I want to look at another, and shift gears with me here, very important fragrance that in our lives as Christians we need to examine closely. And that fragrance is our prayers to God. What I'm finding as time goes on is that God's people are losing that connection for all kinds of reasons. We're distracted, we're tired, we're busy, but also communication is breaking down in society. Go to a restaurant and look at how many people are actually talking. My wife and I got a gift certificate, received that. We went to a restaurant, first time in Mobile for a very long time this week, and there was a table we asked to be moved because it was obviously a salesman. We don't know what he was selling, but the table was just, he was talking a mile a minute loud, and they were talking, and it was so, but the rest of the place was normal. Everybody had their phone out, and nobody was talking. And so what's happened is, I see this all the time in my own life. You know, you're both sitting in chairs. You used to talk. Now you just scroll down your phone. And then you can't figure out why you have challenges. And so prayer does the same thing. Let's go to Psalm chapter 141. Psalm chapter 141. David makes a statement. Psalm chapter 141, verse 1 and 2. Lord, I cry unto you. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto you. Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That is why during worship services and at the Feast of Tabernacles, sometimes during the song service, sometimes during the prayers, people will raise one hand or two. I don't have a conniption fit over that. I've served in fellowships that said, no, we don't do that. That's Pentecostal. I beg to differ. But David said, as he lifts up my hands as the evening sacrifice, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Let's go back there, if you would, with me. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he would offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So here's my question this morning. We talked about stinky smells and sweet smells and things in between. My question for all of you and for us here, what kind of odor or smell does your prayer give to God? Or stated another way, how do your prayers smell? How do they smell? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, and you can be turning to Exodus 30 if you can multitask. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. Dead flies, in the Hebrew it says the flies of death, cause the ointment of the apothecary, right? So someone who prepares and sells drugs for the medicinal purposes, that's what Webster's defines it as, I believe, to send forth a stinking savor. So dead flies, the flies of death, add to that of the apothecary, they send forth, it stinks. It smells awful. So does a little folly to him that is in a reputation for wisdom and honor. So dead flies stink. Let me translate what that's talking about. And next time we read in the Proverbs, we're going to read this, because that's one of the scriptures I didn't read there today. When we are doing something wrong and we know better, it sends off a stink. What do you say to your children or your grandchildren if they're just not really doing what they should be doing? You're being a stinker. You're being a stink pot. You ever said that? Maybe you haven't. And it must be the air. People are yawning today. I guess I'm just, you guys are tired, or I'm putting you to sleep. Well, let's ramp this up. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30. And I want you to keep your finger, because we're going to be going back there and back and forth multiple times throughout the rest of the sermon. You see, God is intricately interested in our prayers. He does not appreciate, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, please remember to feed my dog, his name is Jake. Ha, 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 right? Have you ever caught yourself your prayer? If you remember to pray, you're just tired, you go lay down, and or you have dinner and you drift off to sleep, or maybe breakfast and you take a nap, you know, and you just... You never quite get around to praying, and when you do, well, good night, I'm tired, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and you don't. And days go on. Well, God's interested in our prayers. Here we see the ingredients in this chapter of Exodus chapter 30, and we're going to go down to about verse 34, of the holy anointing oil, and then they list the ingredients of the priestly incense. Now, we've just read where God talks about our prayers being as incense. Let's briefly look at verse 34 and the specific ingredients to see if we can learn something from these ingredients. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto you sweet spices. Did he say stinky, nasty, rotten spices that reek? Right? What, Gail, is there anything you cook with that just doesn't smell so well when you cook with it? Well, they smell afterwards, but... She said beans, but take unto you sweet spices. So here's what we're defining. These are sweet spices. The first one is stacte. In Hebrew, that word is natap, N-A-T-A-P-H. It means a very, very, very small drop. In Greek, very similar, stacte. In Hebrew, again, natap. They're names used for one component, just one component of Solomon's temple incense, the ketoret, discussed in Exodus 30, 34. The Hebrew word meaning to a very small drop, or as a very minuscule part of a drop of water, Job 36 and verse 27. It has to be ground up in very, very, very small particles. Very small particles. When we grind coffee, we have different grinds. And if I remember correctly, if you grind it too fine, it becomes bitter. If you grind it too coarse, you don't get much coffee. So the grind has to be in my in-laws and my wife and my sister-in-law are really into coffee. I used to be, but not quite so much. And, you know, they have the thermometer to make sure the water is just exact. It can't be too high or too low, and like Baby Bear's bed, and got to be ground just right, you know. And you, we have a burr grinder someone gave us, but you got to grind that. No, a little more. Oh, no, look at it. No, a little less. Okay, well, we'll throw that. We'll get some other. We'll drink it, but it isn't going to be just right, you know. So you want. It took a lot of work to grind it into small particles. You and I, in our prayers to God as incense, we need to break them down, grind them down. We will sit and watch television and say, well, that sports figure wears a size 8.5 shoe, and he lives here, and he likes to eat this. We know all those details. Those are really important, you know. But when we pray, good night, help me to sleep well, see you tomorrow, right? Do we break them down in great detail? Because we need to work at it. We pray about specifics. We pray about specifics. We need to get down to the nitty-gritty, as the saying goes. It used to be, folks, years ago, when I would tell someone, I'm praying for you, it meant a lot. We still have, I've mentioned this, we have widows in people that we've served, that we've known for a long time, that we will call when those that are alive and ask for prayers for me and my family, because we know they'll be very detailed, intensely. And they'll ask questions. You know, be more specific what I can pray for. And God listens. Do we pray for God's people around the U.S. and the world? I think we may have forgotten how effective prayer really is. We're too busy in this society. We have. I will mention that as the pastor and president of CGM, I receive nowadays a lot of requests for money, actually almost on a daily basis, especially internationally, always needing money. I know that. But what folks forget is that here in the United States, I don't complain, but we always can use more money, can't we? Some people, they never have enough. They want more at their job. They want more money to pay their bills. They want more money for whatever they want more money for. And so when I mention to folks, well, I'm not going to give you anything. One, I may not have that. Or secondly, I don't have it. Or thirdly, all you ever do is want money. That's what you stay in contact for. There's no easy way to say that. When I mention I will pray for you in this serious situation, I'm not sure some understand the power of that. And then I ask for specifics. What exactly can I pray for? I have seen our Father and His Son in my life and my wife. And our family, Gail, can I have them? Over and over and over, when I break it down in great detail, the difference it's made. My wife can attest to this. I've mentioned it. When we get in a car to drive somewhere on a trip, I will sit in the garage and we'll pray before we back out of the garage. And I say, please protect our home while we're gone from fire, vandalism, break-in, theft, burglary, storms, squirrels eating a hole in the roof, weather. And please, as we drive, please protect us. We don't have any flat tires, blowouts, engine mechanical problems, undue, unnecessary, more than normal stress, or an accident. And I've had, one time I had somebody with me, I said, good night. We're going to be here for 30 minutes. I'm like, better here for 30 minutes than out there for 30 days. Well, just ask God to bless the trip. I did that inside. And I've had people shake their head. I think the financial challenges we face give us the opportunity to ask God, are we relying on God in great detail or ourselves? I have asked for things for the ministry and for my life, very specific. And you know what's happened at times when I haven't asked? There's a problem. Now, I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm dead serious. I have a finger and a forethumb that don't work right now. Guess what I forgot to ask God to do? When you give me the nerve blocker, the surgery, pray that everything will go well, including all the nerves will not be adversely affected other than pain. I didn't do that, and I regret it. Because maybe I wouldn't have this problem. There, the thumb's working sometimes. Now it's not. And I tell people, you do not have enough, not have enough time to break your prayers down to God. If you need something in the family or at work or with your wife or husband, do you not say, well, and you start explaining in great detail what you need? Do we do that? Right? Or I will say to my wife, I'm going to Walmart or Aldi. Is there anything you need? And she'll say, yeah, and make me a list sometimes. And I'll say, be more specific. Which one is that? Because she knows, but I don't. Right? And so very specific. Ounces, organic, brand, type, where, which store? You know? Because I'm a typical on some things. I'm OCD on some things. But when it comes to shopping, banana's a banana. Except for when it's not a banana. When you get a plantain by accident. That's a detail. We all need to and can learn more on how to rely on God to do His work through us. Because it needs to be about what He can do through us, not what we can do through us. And I'm going to make a statement that's pretty bold, but I believe the condition of the Church of God or the Ecclesia, we may not be praying and staying close to God as we could be. Because I'm watching the dynamics and interrelating with that. In 1981, we sent out a survey to the students at college asking, what are some challenges you have with prayer? And I still have this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, a guide for our daily prayer outline, has my name, okay, and the date. And I've got it down in 8 categories and then the closing. Opening address to God the Father. That some don't understand. You pray to God the Father, not Jesus Christ. You can pray to Him as well, but the primary focus is to our Father. That's why when Mark Sappington's here, he says, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Because a lot of places don't anymore. They pray to Jesus. And that's not what we're told to do. Number one, praise God, glorify His name, His greatness, His plan. Pray for God's kingdom to come. Number two, discuss the world's ills, the need for God to intervene. Pray for His work. Individually and collectively, guidance from God, spiritual strength, His inspiration. I told someone several years ago, they said, I just don't like your messages that much. I said, well, you're not praying enough then. What? I said, do you believe God can inspire me? Yes, if you ask Him, help this guy to speak about something else. I never thought of that. Well, try it. Or pray better. Help it to be something that I individually need, and then how it applies to everybody. Decisions, writing, speaking, truth, protection, physical health, longevity. Thanks for my pastor. That would be nice. And his wife, instead of the guy's a moron. He's a clown, you know, which I can be. I can try to be funny. I try to. People don't like to be funny. I get that. Pray for more people to be called to bless the work financially. I ask you, you can do that. Open more doors for us to preach the gospel individually and collectively. Pray for God's will, guidance, and direction. Your life, your family, other brethren, activities. The Feast of Tabernacles that we're planning already. You know, I need to start contacting people for speaking and organizing because I'm in full swing with that. But I'm hesitant to call some people because I'm like, they may not even have thought, oh yeah, the feast is coming up and here we are going to finish out February pretty soon. So we only have March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Okay? What happened? We just finished in October. We got 3 months gone, almost four under our belt. And it goes on, the physical needs. Thank Him, first of all, for the blessings you have, for protection, for blessings in your income, with health, your mate, your family, the supply of the needs for other brethren. Pray for daily spiritual needs, more of God's Spirit, to be more in tune with it, to handle tests and trials. We don't do very well with that, do we? Inspiration during personal Bible study. There's a novel thought. Pray for spiritual growth, to build your contact with Him, your character. Wisdom, the fruits of the Spirit. Remember that series we had? Forgiveness of your sins, to help you to forgive others. That's a tough one. And you know what? If you don't forgive others, He doesn't forgive you. That's scriptural. Well, He forgives me no matter what. No, He doesn't. He says, if you're not forgiving others, I won't forgive you. Study that. Find it. I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's the good book. Protection from our adversary, Satan, and his fiery darts and his broadcasting spirit. I've said this before. Do you know when he hits me the hardest? Sabbath morning. And you wonder why, you know, my wife and I, we do better. But there were times where with stress, I would go in the other room and say, Father, remove this putrid spirit. And it would lift. We're getting all upset about where the toothbrush is or, you know, whatever it was. Don't think for a minute he's going to like, I'm going to ruin your Sabbath. Protection from the world's influence. To correct an attitude you may have, a viewpoint that may not be right that you have. God's help to overcome sin and weakness. Resist temptation. For God to spiritually protect all of his children. And be specific. You can mention names in private. Please help so-and-so, right? Thank and then praise God again. Thank him for Christ's sacrifice, his mercy, forgiveness, your calling, again for your blessings. You can never thank him enough for that. And then close with Christ's name and amen. So that's in somewhat detail there. Do you remember Stephen's sermon in the Bible, the deacon Stephen? Anybody remember that? You remember what happened? It says it fell upon deaf ears, closed ears. It wasn't received. It was not appreciated. They rejected it. They closed their ears. Have you ever done this? You know? Sorry. Not listening. La, 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 la. Kids will do that. Adults will do that. Not listening. You know, keep talking. Keep flapping your lips. Not listening. Well, I appreciate you praying for my wife and me. You may think I sit home having coffee and do nothing all day, but that's not true. And when we travel, it can be challenging. Do we pray that our attitudes will be receptive to God's way of thinking and be teachable by God's Holy Spirit? Believe me, I have listened to plenty of messages where I've thought, dude, he singled me out and he's talking to me, and I don't like it. And then somebody else says, no, we were talking. No, he was talking to me, and I don't like it either. And everybody's like, that's interesting, because nobody's mind had you in mind. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm talking to me. But if it pricks your heart, well, when Stephen spoke, they didn't get that. We need to pray that when God nudges us, corrects us, maybe using a message, another person, we don't become, this is a big word, recalcitrant. That means to have an obstinately uncooperative attitude toward authority or discipline. We don't like it. You know, I was at Costco this week, and I whipped in front of a guy to get in so I could get on the interstate, and Gail said, you know, nicely, You know, well, that was just really not a really smart move, the way you're driving. You know, she could have been a lot less tactful, but she wasn't, and she was right. So I got corrected, I got disciplined, and so do I listen to it? Who knows? I'm a male. But do we listen? We have a responsibility for praying for the services that we attend, you know, the messages. Where do the ideas come from? You know, the old story of the preacher that said, well, this is how I preach. He says, I put my hand in my Bible, open it up, and I go down and stop, and that's what I talk about. So he opens the Bible, and he goes, and Noah took unto himself a wife. That's pretty boring. Let's try that again. And the width of her was 60 cubits by, said, oh, boy, and they all laughed. You know, it's supposed to be funny. Okay, that one bombed. But do we pray for inspiration? Do we pray for things that we need, whether we might want to hear it or not? Adam Clark said, if you have not prayed for the success of something, don't expect anything out of it. When you go shopping, do you pray that God will lead you to deals to save you money? We do. And do we not find them? You know, when I was in Rouse's and we need some day-old bananas that are, Americans think if they're not bright yellow and hard as a brick that they're not ripe, or that's when you eat them. Well, bananas are the best when they're all brown and starting to turn to sugar, when people use it for banana bread. But that's when they're easiest to digest. They're better for you. But that's an American culture. All over the world where I've traveled, the same people, you know, got to be bright yellow, and then you hang it on something so it don't change color, and it's still hard. And okay, well, I was in a place, and there weren't any. Usually they had day-old, 99 cents per bag, which is substantial savings. So I thought, why not? So I just said, Father, would you please bless me with a good deal on bananas? So here comes a guy walking. Can I help you? I said, yeah, I'd never seen him before. I said, do you guys have any day-old bananas? He said, let me go see. He said, how many do you want? I said, I don't. What do you have? I'll take it. He said, what are you making, banana bread? And I said, yeah. He said, I think we threw them out or whatever. He comes back with five bags packed. He says, here, I'll mark them down. You can have all of them for 99 cents. So don't tell me he doesn't listen. So I got, I don't know how many, because we make shakes out of them sometimes too. But I have watched God do that over and over. Acts chapter 15. Let's go over there. Acts chapter 15. I challenge you, okay, listening? I challenge you to grind your prayers up in more detail on the littlest of things and then see what happens. Acts chapter 15. Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, so the church paid their way, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. So this was, I believe, probably about 49 AD, one of the first ministerial conferences. And as they traveled, over the years I've heard many say, if our hearts are not wrapped up in doing God's work individually and collectively, you're not going to grow spiritually. Historically, remember, the church was excited that the Gentiles would be welcome to the church. The leadership was not. I have to wonder what, or better yet, who was the problem. And we still have that today. Well, they can only come here if they do what we do, because we're God's called special people, and they have to be in our fellowship. Okay? Excited that Gentiles will be welcome. Well, as long as they dress the right way, act the right way, and give huge offerings and tithes, they're okay. But They better not have any piercings. They better not have any tattoos. They better be wearing a tie or whatever it is. We know all the dynamics. It is not our job to decide who gets called by God. It's not our job to decide who can keep the Passover, because we're not the Passover police. Oh, now I stepped in it. Well, yes, you have to use wisdom, and if they haven't been baptized by this church or immersed completely or have the right attitude or were old enough to know what they're doing, why they can't attend with us. Da 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 da. I could go on and on, but I won't. In verse 12 of Acts 15, then all the multitude, all the rest kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. They backed them up, declaring the miracles, wonders God had wrought among the nations by them. The churches wanted to know what's going on. We have today more information than ever before within the churches of God, but some don't want to share anything, so we'll password protect it, because we sure wouldn't want them to pray for anybody unless they're part of our group, because we have a special connection. Again, pardon my sarcasm, but it's a problem. So how do we look at it? It's a great benefit. It gives us more to pray about, less to complain about. Frankly, some of us like to complain and bellyache. That's not a good thing. Stop it. Pray for God's will, for needs physically, your family and others, spiritual needs, growth, protection, and praise His name. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1, let's go back there. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, brought her to the city of David, till he made an end of the building his own house and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. And the people sacrificed, not necessarily idolatrous here, in high places. There was no house built to the name of the Lord until those days. And you start going down through here. And for lack of time, I'll ask you to read chapter verses 1 through 12. Because God wants us to be specific, away from yourself and toward others. In verse 12, I have done according to have given you a wise and understanding heart. There was none like before you, neither shall any arise unto you. But I have also given unto you that which you didn't ask for, both riches and honor. There shall not be any among the kings like unto you into all your days. So God said, I've given you even more than you ask, more blessings, because you've been specific. In John chapter 17, I always, before the Passover or during the service, will read this. And I've read it for so many decades. You'd think Christ should have been really concerned about himself during that final prayer. But instead, he prayed for what? For you and for me. In great detail. Read John chapter 17. I strongly recommend. We're not that far away from Passover and unleavened bread. So read that. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 30. And I should have kept my finger in there. Okay, Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 again. So the Lord said, take sweet spices, stacte. The next one is anikah. The original Hebrew word used for this component of the ketoret was sheheleth. It means, you ready? Those of you that are asleep, roar! To roar. Okay? As a lion. Healing off by concussion of sound. Like a fierce lion. It's similar to taking gasoline and whoosh on a fire. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I commented about this recently. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must be stirred up, energetic, not, all right, God, been a great day. See you tomorrow. Help me sleep. Good night. Ho-hum. I want to read a story. It's very famous. The Prayer Informally of Cyrus Brown by Sam Walter Foss. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and his head contritely bowed. Well, it seems to his hand should be astutely clasped in front with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Hunt. Well, last year I fell in Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-putting down. And I made a prayer right there and then, the best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, I was standing on my head. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, you recall, Genesis 32 and verse 24, Jacob with his hip out of joint would not let go until he had an answer. And I've heard plenty of messages making fun of him and saying he had a bad attitude and all that sort of neat stuff. But he worked hard, fiercely. He was diligent. There was a tenacious desire and effort. Prayer takes effort. In verse 28, it says of that chapter, Genesis 32, don't give up. You know, if you're one of these, oh, I could never talk to God like that, you need to change. You need to say, Father, I'm not understanding this. Please help me. It doesn't make sense. What am I not doing, or what am I need to be doing? Maybe your will is not to take away my trial or my suffering. You want me to have it. Help me to learn to be joyful and accept it. Maybe your will is what I don't see, I don't understand. You can talk to him like that. He's not going to turn you into a crispy critter. Let's go back to Exodus 30:34 again. Because if we don't hurry up, we're going to be here a long time. The third sweet part of this incense. Galbanum. So we stacked the Anika, and now galbanum. It's from a Hebrew word pronounced Caleb, which means the richest or the choicest part. The galbanum used by the Israelites was a resinous gum, which had the effect of sustaining the fragrance of the burning incense for a very long time. Galbanum oil adds strength and persistence to the other ingredients. What's also interesting is that it has the power to drive away reptiles, a very practical way to ensure that the tabernacle would stay clear of any form of reptiles while in the wilderness. Maybe I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes, right? Maybe you don't like those things. This oil added endurance to the perfume. It shows forth Jesus' faithfulness to the end. The root word, which means the choicest part, shows it that Jesus' faithfulness was the one ingredient, the choice part, that made the difference. And part in this anointing is to never forget the cost of our calling, to stay faithful even as Jesus Christ was faithful. The incense formula was apparently ground small into a powder. This would be possible because galbanum, which is a thick, sticky, tar-like resin, can be made into powder when you dry it, low boiling or add a diluted, and it burns for a long, long time. And we need to give God our best when we pray. Do you not try to give your best to where you work, when you're in sports, when you exercise, whatever you're doing? Does God get that? The lesson: we should save our best time for God and then keep burning. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Let's go there. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Excuse me, Mark. Yeah, Mark chapter 1. Okay, Mark 1 verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, okay, I'm not bragging, it's just fact. I didn't sleep well last night. I was up multiple times, but I woke up, finished sleeping about 4:30. That's a great while before the day. And I use that time. That's why sometimes about now I start, if I'm not speaking, get tired. And he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. So we see Christ getting up early and going to a private place to pray. I'm going to challenge you. If you're one that likes to just stay and sleep for whatever reason that may be legitimate, try getting up earlier. Go sit like I do on the back thing and pray to God before all the people, all the cars, all the noise, all the day, right? You'll see a change. Yeah, you'll say, yeah, my change will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I go to sleep while I'm driving. But maybe your best time is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Pick your best time when you're the most copacetic and lucid and you're awake, okay? And use that time to pray. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, you can look it up later. He had a habit of giving his best time to God. It was a good example. Psalm 55 verse 17. It says three times a day. Not necessarily you say, well, okay, I've prayed twice, now I got one time left. But in an attitude of prayer, walking and talking with God. Because, say, the world will fill our downtime if we don't. What I find amazing, and here I go again harping on it, with the invent of cellular phones and social media, we can spend a lot of time on that because you can lay in your bed or on your couch and just scroll, scroll, scroll. We all do it. What did we do with our time before we had these wonderful jewels? But nobody says, well, stop. Now you've gone from preaching to meddling. Stay out of my business. Satan does not quit broadcasting. He does not sleep. He's active 24/7. He doesn't need to sleep. I have several articles that over the years I've kept. Here's one on parenting. Resolution number one for the family: teach them how to pray. You know the first thing you need to teach your children? Well, you got to teach them how to stop wetting their diaper and going number two in their diaper, right? That's pretty important. And listening to what mom and dad tell them, right? And all those things. But when do you have to learn how to pray? How old do you have to be, Gail? What's the magic number the psychologists say? Andrew, my son-in-law, my grandson, he's just turned two. You know, and we sit down to eat, and he says, amen, amen. Maybe that's because he's hungry, but he knows you need to pray, right? Teach families to pray. The world recognizes the need to pray. I have another one. Here's one. This one goes in the face of a lot of people. Playing versus praying. Well, kids love to play. Let them play. They should play. But what about playing versus praying? Can you combine that? Okay. Here's one. we all could use. How to pray for and against leaders in government. Okay? Do you pray that God will strike them down? They're so damnable evil. Or do you pray that God's will be done? It says, pray for kings and all authority. Ready? Quote, that we can live peaceable lives. It does not say to attack, malign, and pray, I hope that blankety blank falls over of a heart attack. He's such a jerk. Doesn't say that. I got called on the carpet because I said, I pray for Joe Biden, President Biden. I didn't call him Sleepy Joe because that's disrespectful. But I prayed for him. Oh, you're an idiot. Somebody told you're just an idiot if you're praying for that man because he's of Satan. This other guy is God's guy. Stay tuned. Okay? Stay tuned. Wait till you see the humanness. All right, back to Exodus 30. We have the fourth ingredient. The fourth ingredient. So we say stacte, these sweet spices, onycha, galbanum, with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. Now, I have here right in front of me from back behind, and I don't know if they can see that, but here is some frankincense mixed with a little bit of myrrh. Can you see that, Gail? I don't know if you can zoom in. Okay, well, if you can't, you can't. But anyway, I'll leave that. You can look at that after the message, those of you that are here. When you add this ingredient to the other three, it makes the incense burn like a brilliant white light. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go back there. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church, the Laodicean, these things says the Amen, the faithful, and the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish you were either absolute cold, zero, or hot, zealous. And so then because you were lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, well, I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So white is symbolic of righteousness, having a white raiment. Not just staying, whatever, what's the big deal? Okay? It's not. And so, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 7, you know the story. Also, I'd like you to just reference Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 to 14, where it talks about not quitting. In Exodus 32, 7, God was ready to kill the Israelites. He was upset. And Moses went to God face to face, so to speak, and he gets his attention in verse 11. He says, what are you going to do? Did I hear that right? What am I missing, Father? Jesus Christ, what am I missing? What am I missing here? When our prayers are given to God, they are as incense before Him. They get His attention, and they help us to take on what? His righteousness. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet it's not us. But what? The faith of Jesus Christ who gave himself for us. When we pray, family, brethren, think about the incense in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 to 38. Let's go back and let's finish reading this chapter or these verses that the priests set before God. So take the stack, the onycha, galbanum, and frankincense, and you shall make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very small, put it before the testimony of the tabernacle, the congregation, where I will meet with you. It shall be unto you most holy. And for the perfume which you shall make, you shall do not make to yourselves according to the composition. It shall be unto you holy. So don't replicate it. Don't make a knockoff. Very specific. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell shall be cut off from his people. So when we pray, ask ourselves the question, how do your prayers smell? What odor do your prayers give off? Positive? Negative? A stench? Here he comes again. He just wants something. Right? A fragrance? Ooh, that smells nice. I've been waiting for this all day. So remember the ingredients. Stacte, a small drop. Grind those prayers up and be small and specific. Onycha, to stir up with effort. Galbanum, our best part, the choicest part of our time. Work your schedule around to where that takes precedent, folks. Frankincense, white and holy, burning bright, God's attention is clearly drawn. May our prayers be as a sweet smell to our Father and His Son. And the more we reflect, muse, meditate on God, seeking Him and His will in our lives, we'll find that prayer is that vital source of contact with the very God that gives us life. Some of us are struggling because that's gotten kind of kittywampus. It's not too late. It's not too late. And we will become and begin to reflect more and more what God truly desires us to be, His children, His people, and His body, with that spirit, that dynamic, powerful, Spirit of God living within us. Join me in prayer if you would. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you so much for your blessing of your truth and your calling, taking care of us, helping us. We all face challenges, Father, to various degrees. We are, we do, we're human. You know that. But Father, help us to look past the situation, whatever it is we're in, to you. And ask for your help, your encouragement. Help us to praise you, to love you, to thank you, to look at the donut rather than the hole in the donut, and to realize that in this world, your Son said, we will suffer and we will have a difficult time. But you went first, leaving us an example that if we suffer and take it patiently and joyfully, we will be blessed spiritually for doing so. Encourage us, help us, lift us up, heal those that are suffering. There are many. And Father, we pray in our lives individually and collectively, our Father, which resides in heaven, praise be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily needs, what we need to live. And Father, we also pray that you'll help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And we just thank you now. We look to you. We trust you. We appreciate you. And just ask your dismissal. Please bless the meal and go with us this week and help us to, as they said with Moses, arms up, to keep going. Thank you, Father, for what's revealed in your word. And we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.